Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Well, tonight what I'd like to do is I'd like to resume, just out of curiosity. How many of you here were here last week? All right, good. Good. That means I don't have to spend a lot of time recapping, because we're going to talk about, last week we talked about between a rock and a hard place. And tonight we're going to resume our study and resume that. I'm going to give you a second part of Between a Rock and a Hard Place. Now, for those of you that are just joining us or that you weren't here with us last week, we looked at a story. We read the encounter of a setting up of a memorial, so to speak. And if you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me. We'll look there as the topic of our discussion tonight continues on from the same area. In the book of 1 Samuel in the 7th chapter, we see that after many years of Israel facing a hardship against the Philistines and the Ark of the Covenant being taken captive during one of the battles, that Samuel, the prophet, has enticed or challenged Israel to repent and cleanse themselves of their ways, to leave their idols and go after and follow after God as they give a sacrifice to God. They go to war. The Philistines show up to battle against them once again, outnumbering them, and they kind of look to each other and say, what do we do? And the Bible goes on and tells us that the voice of God came upon the Philistines, confused them, and Israel pursued after them and literally slaughtered them, destroyed them. And as we do, we see in 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter, verse number 12, after that is all over, we see that Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Now, last week we described that. Ebenezer is a word study. Eben literally meaning rock in Hebrew, and Ezer or Ha-Ezer literally meaning help. Meaning the word of Ebenezer literally means then the rock of help, or our rock of help. And God is that to us. You and I are Ebenezer. So now if you ever wonder, if you've ever heard that old school hymn where it says, here I raise my Ebenezer. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, no, it's all right. You may hear it. We're not talking about Ebenezer Scrooge. So get that, because I know I was there once before. You know, you're not lifting up Ebenezer Scrooge. Here I raise my rock of help. God is our rock of help. And last week, one of the things that we discussed is when we are facing a hard place, or when we get into a hard place, we have the decision between a hard place and the rock being God. So we learned that we've got to go to the rock. Now, the rock is God. Now, I would love, and I will put in our application to say that, hey, that's also a double meaning. When you face a hard time or you're facing a hard place, hey, get to the rock, all right? But first and foremost, God, our rock. But then you can add the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, because I believe it's a great place to be when you're going through hard times. We talked about standing on the rock. We got to learn sometimes to just stand and not run about, not move about, not get all busy and get all active and the things. When we're facing a hard time, oftentimes we want to go. As soon as things start to look a little bit better, we're right out there hitting the ground again. And we got to learn sometimes we just got to stand and be still and know that God is in control. And we learned last week that we've got to build on the rock, to build the foundations of our life. Everything that we live, everything that we breathe has got to be built upon the rock of God, God our help. And today I want to take a look at God, our rock, once again, between a rock and a hard place. And it's been on my heart. And I was talking to my wife this afternoon as I was kind of going over the message. I always bounce the messages off of, she's like my sounding board, and she's brutally honest. And I was bouncing this off with her, and I just said, you know, she said, well, how do you feel about it? I said, you know, I'm getting to the point where I feel like I'm just keep beating on that horse. And she's like, what do you mean? I says, man, it seems like every time I preach, it's about hard times. Every time I preach, it's about battles. Every time I'm teaching, it's about something. And I believe that as I was praying today and this afternoon, God really spoke to me and said, listen, we have got to understand as a church that we have got to know what to do when an emergency or when hard times come our way, because if we don't, panic will set across and we will go and spread like cockroaches in the light. And so God really kind of set my heart, set my mind at ease. Now, I'm not getting on my soapbox talking about doomsday or apocalypse or the, you know, something happened over here and y'all got to get your can of beans and your stash. I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about is you and I have got to learn some things about God in our life so that when hard times come our way, because as we have beginning just to see the tip of the iceberg of what persecution really means in the 21st century, we don't see it as much in America, but we are seeing what's going on in Iraq. We've heard about what's going on in the Philippines and Indonesia and these and in Central Africa and these areas. We have got to learn that God is our rock, and there will be times in our lives where we will be in a hard place in life, and we have got to learn to go to the rock. And so here, as we see that Samuel set up this stone, a memorial that said the Lord has helped us, meaning God our rock. I was studying, and last week one of the verses that we used in our point of going to the rock was the book of Psalms in the 18th chapter. In Psalms in the 18th chapter, David is literally speaking or singing to God of his glories, of his goodness, and delivering, of God's deliverance. Now, the pretense of this is that it says that David is singing to God or speaking to God of being delivered from his enemies and from Saul. And so today we're going to look at that. We're going to go back to the book of Psalms in the 18th chapter. We're going to look back at verse number 2, and we're going to look at the attributes of God, our rock, in our lives and what that means. It's a little bit different for me. I guess at the church we've just gotten used to, we've gotten accustomed to having, you know, point number 1, point number 2, point number 3, point number 4. Today there are no points. Simply put, I just want to go through Psalms in the 18th chapter, verse number 2, and look at these attributes of God that the psalmist, as he glorifies God, says to you and I, so that we can have an understanding of God, so that when hard times come, because it's not a matter of if, it's not a matter of, well, maybe this or that, it's a matter of when. And I know, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news. I'm not trying to throw a wet blanket on our lives. But the reality is Jesus told his disciples, you will face persecution, but be of good cheer. Because I have overcome the world, you and I have got to learn the attributes of God, our rock of help, so that we can live and be successful in life. Are you with me today? So Psalms in the 18th chapter, verse number 2, David says this. He says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Now some say that David wrote this. We first actually see this psalm in 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. It's slightly different, and this is where David is literally speaking this to God. And now we see it recorded in the book of Psalms for you and I as he's speaking to God. And now some say that David wrote this when he was young, when he had been delivered from Saul in his times of trial. Others say that David wrote this psalm or wrote this song or this poem to God when he was older, well advanced in life. Either way, we've got to understand that David is a man. From the beginning to the end of his career with God was a man that had been delivered over and over and over by God. Can we all agree on that one? If you recall, before Goliath ever came, there was the bear and the lion. Then there was the giant. Then there was the king of Israel. That's a bad place to be in right there. Then there was the Philistines. Then there was his family. It was over and over and over again, and yet God was faithful to this man David. And here David is crying out to God, saying, God, you are my rock of help, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, and whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So today what I want to do, I just want to take each one of those statements and let's just talk, let's just look at a little bit of in-depth of what these ideas that David is laying out here to God and what they are to you and I. So we talked about last night or last week, God being our rock. That was last week's message. So number one, or the first thought idea of tonight was last week, God our rock. Now let's go and let's look at Psalms, the 18th chapter, verse number 2. And David says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. I love the descriptive element here that David gives us as a fortress. You know, a fortress is a place of refuge. It's something that where you would seek shelter from onslaught or from attacks. It's usually often surrounded by wilderness or open areas. It's literally a place of retreat. Think back to the old Western days. In the Wild West, there were forts out in the middle of the wilderness. You get the idea because you've seen those old John Wayne movies and Clint Eastwood films, you know. They got the logs going up and they got the little tower in the middle and everything else was just wilderness on the outside. So the psalmist David says to us that God is our fortress, literally a place of refuge, a fortified city or military dwelling. And this is the description of God, is that God is our fortified dwelling, a place of refuge. When hard times come, we have a place to go.
First thing we've got to understand is that we have a place to go in God. You think about it oftentimes. A fortress, much like a castle or a strong wall or a strong tower, oftentimes there were many inhabitants that lived on the outside of that fortress. But when hard times come, when attacks would come or when enemies would come their way, they would retreat from their homes, retreat from their villages, leave all behind, and they would run into through the doors of the fortress, and they would lock those doors, bolt those doors, and they would hold out, and they would have a place of peace, and that God is our fortress, our refuge, a place to go when we have hard times. What an amazing thought to understand that God is our refuge in life. When we went camping, I showed you a picture last week of my wife and I. We just returned from backpacking. 6 days in the Sierra Nevada mountains. Oftentimes I'd said that I learned the difference between people. There are people that like the outside and there are people that don't like the outside, because the people that like the outside are like, man, that's really cool. And the people that don't like the outdoors are like, why would you do that? One of the things that we saw when we were there, and I've been there and in other areas before, is when you get to a high elevation, when you get above the tree line, you're exposed to the elements. When wind or when rain comes, there's no shelter. There's no trees to hide underneath. And over the decades and hundreds of years, literally, that people have been spending time in the wilderness, there have been clearings made out of rocks, or they have been taking every rock that's out there and they have stacked them up and made stone walls, because the wind would come every day or every evening from the west or from the east or whatever direction that canyon might lead the wind, and it would blow and people would have nowhere to go. And so we camped one night and we were there and we knew it was a windy night. There was already a breeze blowing, and we found a spot where there was a huge boulder on the side, and we put our tent as close as we could to the boulder so that as the elements came, as the wind and the cold air blew in the nighttime, we knew that it wouldn't shake. We knew that it wouldn't rattle. We knew that it wouldn't keep us awake, that we could have peace and that we could have rest. Why? Because we were literally hiding in the cleft of the rock, and that is exactly what God is to us. We live a life exposed out in the elements, in the real world of this day and age, where we are exposed to the elements. But there is a place that you and I can go, that we can go and we can lean against, that we can barricade ourselves into, the fortress of God, the place that is fortified, where no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Why? Because God is our fortress. We don't rely on the security and the safety of the stock market or the real estate market. Hello. Yes. On the gas prices, on how nice of possessions we have. Why? Because we know they come and they go. Our refuge is from God. I love how the psalmist says, and I'll just put this on the overhead. Psalms in the 46th chapter. I took you there to verse number 10. I said that was one of my favorite verses of the Bible, and it truly is. Psalms in the 46th chapter, verse number 1. The psalmist says, God is our refuge and our strength. Listen to this. A very present help in trouble. Don't you love that? A very present help in trouble. God is our fortress. You know what's neat about that? Generally, fortresses don't move. Castles, have you ever seen somebody try to move a castle? It doesn't happen, right? You get too far away from the castle, you're out on your own. But God is our very present help, which means wherever we are in life, all we need to do is to look to God as our fortress, our refuge, our strength, our present help in trouble, and we realize and we can understand that God is always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. What a neat thought that is right there. Hallelujah. We're talking about looking at Psalms in the 18th chapter. So if you got your Bibles and you had your Bibles open there, go back. Let's look at it again. Psalms in the 18th chapter, verse number 2. David says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. God is our deliverer, church. He's our hero. He's the one that goes before us. He's our George Washington crossing the river in the paintings, ready to fight the redcoats. God is the one that goes before us, that delivers us out of the arms of darkness, that takes the evil forces and the things that would try to destroy us, to take our lives away. God is the one, through Jesus Christ, our deliverer, has pulled us out. But the beautiful thing is, he's not just our deliverer, he's our redeemer. He's washed us, cleansed us, bought us by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are now washed as clean as snow, the Bible tells us. What an awesome thing that is. In 2 Corinthians, in the first chapter, speaking of our deliverer, this is an amazing statement. When we think that we've got hard times, when we think that we've got some trouble our way, 2 Corinthians in the first chapter, Paul the Apostle is writing to the church, and it's really in his exhortation, he's speaking to the church. 2 Corinthians in the first chapter, verse number 8, Paul the Apostle, where we're going to pick up, let me read you the verses previous to that. He's talking about the hardships of what they've had. They've had some pretty hard times, and he begins to talk about this to the church. And I love the statement that Paul makes, and we've got to live this. This has got to be our mantra for life. And so verse number 8, he says, you know, we don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure. I don't know about you, but burdened beyond measure, that's pretty bad. That's not financial crisis, okay, I got to start. Burdened beyond measure. He goes on and he says, we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, that we despaired even of life. Paul, here's an amazing statement. Paul the Apostle, the author 2/3 of the New Testament, is saying, there was a time in our ministry where we couldn't even deal with life. It was so hard. Wow. You know, one of the comforts that we have is knowing that the trials that we go through, we're not alone. That we're not the only ones in the world that are going through hard times. Here, Paul the Apostle is sharing, listen, it was so tough, so hard, that we despaired life itself. Verse number 9, he says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We were thinking, man, let's just roll over and die in ourselves. Why? That we should not learn to trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. I love what Paul the Apostle says. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now, I want you to pay attention to the term that says, but in God who raises the dead. But in God. Why? Because look what verse number 10 says. But in God who delivered us from so great a death, who does deliver us, and whom that he will still deliver us. Do you see what Paul the Apostle just said? That we would learn to trust in God who delivered us, past tense, who delivers us, present tense, and who will deliver us, future tense. Irregardless of what life looks like at the present circumstance, God is our deliverer, past, present, and future. There may be some of you in this place who say, Pastor Luke, I don't have much of a past of deliverance of God. Well, we'll give you the opportunity tonight to start today and let it start working your way towards the future. But the beautiful thing is that God is our deliverer no matter what may come our way. I love that. Past, present, and future. David goes on in Psalms, the 18th chapter, verse number 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. I love this. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My strength, in whom I will trust. God is our strength. We don't rely on the strength of men. We don't lean on our own perseverance or our own fortitude to get us through hard times in life. Why? Because the hard times will come and they will go, and the strength of men will come and it will go, but God is our strength. Much like we talked about, to stand on the rock, to build on the rock. Remember that he who hears my words and does them, I will liken him to a man who builds upon the rock, Jesus said. We talked about that last week. God is our strength, our foundation. I love how he says, in whom I will trust. I'm not going to put my trust in my own ability. I'm not going to put my trust in somebody else's ability to get me through my hard times. I'm going to put my trust in God's ability. Why? Because God is my strength. The source of my fortitude comes from God. In the Love Rock Cafe, if you've ever been in there, they have really good food. Short little plug. There's these big wooden beams and big wooden pillars. You guys kind of know, you know what I'm talking about? You've been there? Big beams and big pillars. Right over where all the food is at, there's these big, like, 25-foot-long wooden beams. And I remember at the time, it was a family member that was building that or constructing that, and I was over there, and I was actually in the video department at the time, and I was filming the progress of the Love Rock Cafe. And they said, hey, listen, we need you to put the camera down. We got to lift this big old beam up, and we don't have enough guys. So, Luke, you get on that end. I'm going to get on this end. He's going to get on that end. We're going to all get on the ladder at the same time, and we're going to lift this up, and we're going to put this beam up and just hold it in place, and we'll do the bolts, and we'll secure it in place. All right, cool, great, you know. 23, 24-year-old guy, I'm like, sweet, you know, my chance to really show it. Yeah. So we all get that beam. All right, one on the count of three, one, two, you know, we're all lift with the knees. We get the beam right here, cool, great, wonderful. All right, ready, one, two, three, flip it up to the all right, cool, we got this. All right, ready, let's go. Beam up over the head. Uh-oh. Little 175-pound Pastor Luke at the time. You know, the beam probably weighed four times that, and all of a sudden I start feeling gravity. Uh-oh. I dropped that beam on me. Fell down to the ground by the grace of God. You're all cringing. By the grace of God, He protected me, but I will never forget the moment my pride was shot. All the other guys on staff are like, are you okay? Run, and they all throw the beam down on the ground. You all right? Oh, my goodness. You know, my family member, Dad's going to kill me. I was not strong enough to lift that beam on my own at the end. Yet I tried. Spiritually speaking, we're not strong enough as human beings to endure the hardships that life will bring our way on our own and be successful. We have got to learn that we have got to have help in our lives and to not rely on our own strength. As Americans, we like to have we have the resolve. I'll get through this. You can put, you know, you always hear it, it's always the comeback story. You push me down. You tell me to be quiet. The more you push against me, the bigger I get. We like to hear that. We remember the Titans movie and all these other type of things. You know, the football teams that they came out from. You know, the underdog story. That's like America. So we have this inside of us. Well, we're strong enough. But God says, listen, you need to understand that it is not your strength that will get you through life. It is my strength. And the sooner we learn to lean on God, the better we are in life, because God is our rock, immovable, our strength. I love how Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, you were there in the first chapter, a couple pages over if you're still there. Paul the Apostle is talking about the thorn in his flesh, and he talks about there was something, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, and he says, I prayed to God three times to remove this messenger. And finally, he gets the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's so amazing. In the middle of 2 Corinthians, we see the words of Christ in red. Why? Because Jesus Christ speaks these words to Paul the Apostle, and he said to me, verse number 9, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul goes on and he says, therefore, most gladly, I'll rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I love this verse number 10. He goes on and he says, therefore, I'll take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. Why? Because when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because now we realize, like Paul the Apostle had just said, we had put a death sentence on our own lives that we may not trust in ourselves, but in God. When I am weak, now I have learned that I tried to pick the beam of life up over my head and it fell back on me. But there I was on the ground, and God came alongside through Jesus Christ, and He picked that beam up and He said, hey, listen, I got this. You just need to lean on me. God is our strength in whom we trust. God is our strength in whom we trust. The psalmist says, some put their trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. God our help, God our provider, God our strength. Psalms in the 18th chapter, verse number 2, he goes on and he says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I shall trust. I love this one. My shield God is our shield, a close and personal defense. You see, the fortress is a large-scale defense mechanism, a place of refuge. The shield is up close and personal. It is on our person at every time. It is something that is part of the integral armor of God, that we may hold it up, that we might move it to the left or to the right, that we might block the onslaught or the attacks of the enemy. And here the psalmist is saying, now God, my rock, is my shield, my personal defense, up close and personal, guarding the important and yet the things that we might think are little in our lives. I love that. That we can go to God for the big things, but did you know that the little things are not so below God that we can't go to God for them? I remember many of you heard on that Sunday morning when my dogs ran away. I keep getting questions at the door. They came back, all right? I believe I believe they were brought back, but that's a different story for a different day. But I remember when we were praying, when I first started going, I started praying to God about my dogs. My dogs had gone missing, for those of you that don't know. I came home from a service. I was preaching over the weekend on a Friday night after our young adults. We had a great night. Got home, and my backyard was empty. My gate was left wide open. It was actually propped open by a piece of wood, and my dogs were gone. And for those of you, the long story short, our dogs have puppies. Our puppies are freedom for our future pledge. So it's kind of like, God, my testimony's gone. And I remember as I was praying with my wife, we were praying for peace and we were praying for comfort. I was kind of like, oh, how silly is this? God, bring my dogs back. People around the world are dying. People are starving. People don't have water. And I'm going, God, I want my dogs, my puppies. And I begin to feel silly. And I begin to feel like it wasn't important enough, like don't bother God with the little things of life. Only go to God with the big things. And I was reading, Pastor Dan had made mention to me as we were talking, I was reading the same scriptures about the parable of Jesus and the shepherd and the lost sheep. And Pastor Dan said, well, you know, God thought it was so important that he let Saul know where his father's donkeys were. And so I started going in and I started reading, and the parable of Jesus said, if a shepherd loses a sheep, wouldn't he leave the 99 to go find the one? And I said to me, God cares enough about the one little measly sheep out of 99. That means God cares about the little. The fortress is our refuge for the big, but God, our shield, is for the things that jab us, the things that try to give us the Chinese torture of 1,000 cuts, the devil and his little darts that will try to get us slowly to wither down. God is our shield that we can hold up close to our heart and say, God, the things that are close to my heart, you will guard. So don't be afraid to bring every little matter to God, because he cares about you. Psalms of 28 chapter, I'll put it up on the overhead. The psalmist says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart gladly rejoices. The shield that covers our heart, that covers our lives. Proverbs in the 30th chapter. You can just write that down, take notes. You can read it later or go back and mark it in your Bible. But it says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Sometimes, church, we got to stop repeating what others have said about us or to us. Man, I don't know about you, but I like to focus on the negative. I like, can you believe they said that? Can you believe? I've always been an advocate. You've heard me talk about this a bunch of times. You go online, you try to buy something, you don't care about the 55 five-star reviews. You go right to the one-star. What is that? What do they say? We like to go to, well, I'm not going to buy it because that one guy at a 500 had a bad, you know, I don't want that to be me. We focus on that. Well, so-and-so said. They told me when I was a kid. They said I would never. They said I would. And what we do is we start thinking about that over and over and over again. And what we're essentially doing is taking that shield and laying it down on the ground and saying, hey, devil, hey, world, here I am. Throw the darts. I'm a cushiony board just for you. What we have got to do is stop saying what others have said about us. Stop going over what has gone on in the past and pick up the shield. The words are truth and words of God are pure, and start saying what the word of God says. Hey, I'm not a loser. I'm not a coward. I am mighty. Hey, I'm a great mighty person of God. God is my refuge. He is my rock. He is my fortress. And start picking up that shield and blocking what the world would try to bring us down. Why? Because God is our shield. Psalms in the 18th chapter, verse number 2, going on. This is a really cool one. Psalms in the 18th chapter, verse number 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, and the horn of my salvation. The God is the horn of our salvation. That, I know you're like, I know some of us are like, I want to say praise God. What does that mean? Well, let's talk about that. The horn of our salvation. Well, first and foremost, we'll get to this in a moment, but let me just specify this, that Jesus Christ is the horn of our salvation. But what does that mean? Well, there are three common uses or meanings for horn. So let's talk about them. Number one is a horn to be blown. They would blow the horn or the shofar, the horn of a ram, to sound, to glorify, to magnify. It was a battle cry. It was a trumpet used out of the horn of an animal. So God is the sounder of our salvation, proclaiming it, making it known to the world. Hey, we are here. God says, I love you, by Jesus Christ declaring it on the cross. It is finished. The horn was blown from all eternity forward, saying, now it has been declared that you have been saved by Jesus Christ. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ. Now that's a horn. That's declaring. A horn is also the peak of something, the summit of a rock. How about this? The Matterhorn. The ride at Disneyland. You know what I'm talking about? There's actually a real mountain. I don't know if you knew about that. There's really a mountain called the Matterhorn. How about the Cape Horn? The peak or the summit of a rock. It is a firm foundation. It is unmoved, unchanged by the weathering. It is not shaken or taken away. It is there. It is if you think about the horn of Africa, the horn of South America, faces tremendous and immense storms over and over and over and over again, yet it is still there. Why? Because God is our rock. Now, this is the really cool one, and this is where I believe that the author, the psalmist means, is that the horn is a sign of superiority. You think about it like this. Hey, man, the goat, the ram, the deer, the elk, the moose, whatever it might be that has horns, dude with the biggest horns wins the fight. I remember we were out at Lake Mead with my family. We were out there. We were parked in a little cove. It was really neat. We were just swimming and enjoying the weather. And we didn't even notice because they blend in so well. But after a minute, we heard some noises, and we looked up to the rocks. And there was a whole, I don't know, cluster, pod, herd, big, I don't know, whatever you call them, group of big horn sheep. I mean, that was really neat. They're so rare, you don't ever see them. So we see this whole family of big horn sheep, and we're like, wow, check that out. Look at the horns on those things. You got those big, you know, spirally ones. All of a sudden, we realized there was a whole nother cluster, pod, herd, whole nother family, let's just say family A, all right, over here, a whole nother herd of big horn sheep. There was a face-off going down right where we were swimming on a cliff. And so here's the herd A, and then there's herd B. And herd B has the big goat, sheep, ram, whatever, okay? Big dude, alpha male. You could see him. Why? You knew it was the alpha male because there he stood on a boulder. Everybody else was behind him. Everybody else was kind of hidden in the rocks. The other little babies were like tucked under mom. And it was just a stare down of big, big ram, big sheep looking, what's up? And then you see the other family, the other alpha male of the group. He wasn't as big. I mean, this is from like 40 yards away. And he wasn't as big. And he kind of, it's amazing how they just go straight up the cliff. But he goes up the cliff. And there they are just staring at each other. You could see clearly size made a difference. The big sheep and the little sheep, all right? And they just stared at each other. And you could tell that the little sheep was thinking, okay, if I win, this is really good. Probably looked down over the rock. Said, if I lose, there ain't no coming back from this one. So he starts looking at the big sheep, looking at the big sheep's horns. Looking at his horns, my horns are, you know, his horns. And that little sheep or that smaller male from the other family walked up to the big one and was like, hey, sorry about you, man. All right. They turned around and they went up another way, and that family stood their ground. Why? Because his horns gave him the superiority. He was the alpha male, which means that there was no other sheep going to come and try to challenge him, because he says, listen, man, I got this pair right here. It's going to knock you off the cliff. And Jesus Christ is Zacharias' prophecy in Luke, the first chapter, as he sees his son John the Baptist being born, and he's been mute and deaf for 9 months during the pregnancy of his son. Now all of a sudden his son is born, and he begins to prophesy about Jesus. And in verse number 69 of Luke, the first chapter, he says, and God has raised up a horn of salvation for us out of the house, his servant David. Jesus Christ is the big horn sheep that ain't gonna, nobody gonna come and try to challenge him. He's the 5-6 point mule deer. He ain't nobody coming after him. The big dog moose in town. Which means the devil gonna try to come your way. It's gonna try to come my way and say, hey, listen, I got this. I'm gonna try to get you out, knock you down. But we have the horn of our salvation. Jesus Christ, the alpha male on our side, God Almighty, the horn of our salvation says, hey, devil, I got a pair of these. What you got? Philippians, the second chapter, I'll just put it up on the overhead. It says that therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess. I just skipped the verse. Every knee shall bow of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you know what that means? Jesus got the big horn. The horn of our salvation. That's a pretty cool one. Now when you say, man, the horn of our salvation, that's pretty cool. All right. I like that. I like this one. God, number three. Or no, not number three. Last one for tonight. I don't even know where number three came out of. It's not even like number. It's like number six. Anyways. I just got to take off my shoes to count next time. Psalms, the 18th chapter, verse number 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation. I love this. My stronghold. God is our stronghold. Now, I love this because this one took me a long time to figure out. Because what is the difference between a fortress and a stronghold? I thought, oh man, I got all the way to the end of the message. I thought, well, this isn't going to work. It's the same. It's redundant. So then I started to look at it. I started to study, and I began to look at the meanings of these words. And a fortress is a fortified garrison, a fort or a city or a dwelling that has been fortified, a place of refuge. But a stronghold is not a place of refuge or a rally point. A stronghold is a place of dominance. A fort or a fortified city is surrounded by wilderness. A stronghold is surrounded by occupation. Oftentimes, it's the military headquarters of something. It's the capital city, the stronghold, which means you might be able to get the outskirts of the civilization or the territory, but in order to reach the stronghold, you have to go through the entire nation, the entire village, the entire tribe, the entire army. It is a stronghold, literally meaning a firm grip of the land or of the battle. And God is our stronghold, which means that God has a firm grip on our lives, which means he's not going to let us go, let us fall, let us fail. God is our stronghold, our military superiority. That is a cool thought right there. Fortress is a place of refuge, a rally point. A stronghold is a place of might or military dominance. In Nahum, the first chapter, you're like, what? I know. Nahum, I'll just put it up on the overhead. If you want to find out where Nahum is, go to the concordance. Look, no, I'm just kidding. Nahum in the first chapter, in order to save us time, because it'll take us all forever to find it. Nahum in the first chapter, verse number 7, it says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. God is our military superiority in our spiritual warfare. God is our might, our victory. We are victorious in life because of God. I remember when I played hockey, on one of the teams I played for, we were the best team. It was because I was on it, but we were the best team. I'm just kidding, totally kidding. It was not, in spite of the fact that I was on it. We were the best team in the league. Nobody wanted to play us. Every time we got to a game, we came out there, and after a while, towards the end of the season, it kind of like took the fun out of the season, because it was just like, we're going to win by like 15 points. Like, let's just go out there and try to make them not cry. I mean, that's literally how it was in this season. I remember this. And what we had is we had a stronghold in that league. We were the ones to beat. And God is our stronghold. He's our fortress. He's our strength. He's our refuge. He is our rock. And because of all this, now we are the ones spiritually to beat. Why? Because we don't lean on ourselves. And why? Because we don't run to our friends or to social media or to the news for our relief or for our shelter. Why? Because we have God, our rock. And because our rock is immovable, because heaven and earth will fade away, but the words of God are immovable and unchangeable, will never fade away. We have God on our side, which means we have a strong, stronghold, a firm grip on our lives, on the lives of those around us. We have a military spiritual stronghold. 2 Corinthians in the 10th chapter. You were there previously in the 12th chapter, now in the 10th chapter. Paul the Apostle says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the pulling down of what? Strongholds, which means our stronghold is mightier, stronger, bigger, better than any stronghold the world or the devil might throw our way, which means alcohol, pornography, cigarettes, drugs, addictions, depressions, whatever it might be, sicknesses, disease, whatever it might be, any type of stronghold that would try to come our way. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty. Why? Because God is our stronghold. Stronghold and our military superiority, spiritually speaking, will trump anything that comes our way, because God is a God who we can base on. God is the God, our rock of help today. When we learn to look at God for who He is, when we learn to see that God is our rock, our rock of help, when we see that God is our fortress, our place of refuge, that we see God as our deliverer, the one that brings us out over and over again, our hero. God is our strength. God is our shield that covers the close and personal parts of our life. God is the horn of our salvation, our stronghold. Now we begin to realize that when hard times come our way, that we can be successful, that we can get through it, that we can be who God has called us to be, to stand up, to rise up, to speak, and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ at all times in our lives, to reflect the glory and the goodness of God in our lives. Why? Because we rely and we lean on God. Now, I love this. There was a common theme throughout all of the scriptures that we read today. And I'm just going to put it like this. The dollar bill says it best. In God, we trust. God is our rock. We trust in God. We stand firm in faith on God, our rock. And I'll tell you what, we as a church will be victorious over what the devil would have to throw at us in life. Are you guys with me today? Did you guys get something out of that tonight? Praise God.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.